In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Reformation of 1517 was a fight for safety and for peace. It was a fight for security amidst the raging storm and the waves in this life. The medieval theological system, in many ways anyway, taught its priests to preach insecurity. It was very difficult, that system. It was convoluted. It was obtuse at times, even. But at just sort of the popular level, God was depicted as enraged with sinners, absolutely angry with sinners, but doing very little or nothing to alleviate that anger. It pretty much said, all that we are is sinners in the hands of an angry God whose wrath burns against us. Whew. That is a burden, a weight to live under, to be sure. So what this did, then, was to leave sinners, you and me, who were generally wounded and weakened and hurt by sin to begin with, left us having to appease God's wrath with our own works, with our own little things that we would do, that we would come up with, that we thought made God happy. And he would just make us a little bit more righteous for doing them. And they could never be sure, never be certain that we ever really did enough to simply appease God. We could never be sure that what we were doing was enough. Because when is enough enough? Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. When is enough enough? It was hellish. It was dark. And the result of this medieval abuse is still alive in the churches to this very day. Still alive and well today. Luther felt this weight more poignantly, more deeply than most. He took it seriously, and because he took it so seriously, it really nearly drove this man to despair, right to the brink of it. It drove him to hell on earth. But the Lord is merciful, and he loves his children, and he doesn't always give us what we want, does he? He gives us what we need. And in the case of Luther, the Lord used it to drive him straight to the Scriptures. And there he discovered that God's wrath over sin, that Luther himself was trying to work out, trying to mitigate and get rid of, that wrath over sin, guess what? It had already been quenched by the Son of God and what he has done for us. The Son who was put forward as a blood sacrifice for the sins of the world. It was the Holy Spirit of Jesus that taught Luther from the Scriptures that sinners, that we are justified by God's grace. And that as a gift, not as something that we have to earn or work or merit, not by pilgrimages, not by some prayer or anything else that a person might do or not do for that matter. And certainly not by buying indulgences in that evil and wicked system. That they receive this miracle only by the power of faith, only by the victory of faith. This is security and safety like he had never known, and it had not been known for some time in the church. In this gospel is surety. In this gospel is peace at last. Because this is not dependent upon the wavering will of man who goes back and forth and then back again. It's not dependent upon our half-hearted efforts or just giving it our best, the best that we can do. This gospel rests firmly in Jesus Christ, firmly upon the rock who is God, and his immovable promises, that sinners are justified by his grace, received by faith. God's word to us in the Psalms speaks incredibly about this assurance. That's why the Psalms, I always direct people who are going through hard times, who are going through dark places in this life, I always direct them to the Psalms. Always go to the Psalms. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever, the psalm says. And then resounding in all of our ears today is Psalm 46. God is our refuge, and God is our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Why? Because the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord himself is with us. Our God walks with us through all things. This safety, this security is sounded in our Lord's words today in the gospel. If the Son sets you free, then guess what? You will be free indeed. There is no slavery to hell, to sin, to death, to Satan. The Son has liberated from all of that. And so the Christian's salvation is not in question. It is not uncertain. There is no secret or ambiguous amount of sin left to be purged away in our lives that we've got to somehow push away and get rid of. Because if the Son sets you free, then what? It's not if the Son sets you free, then maybe you'll be free. It's not if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed later on, sometime in the future. It's right now you will be free. Right now with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you are free. In the Son, you are free. You are no longer a slave, because he has made you to be that way. Jesus washes away sin for certain, with absolute assurity. He declares sinners to be righteous without question. You don't have to doubt it, because the Son has declared it to you. And the Son does not lie. He is truth itself. Our God is not the God of doing things halfway and then just sort of quitting. It is finished, Jesus declares from the cross. It is finished. Not it will be finished one day. Not when you finish working it out will it be finished. With the sacrifice, with the blood of Jesus shed, it is finished. Right here, right now. Doesn't just give us a chance to try again with a little bit of seed money so maybe we can do a little better the second time. He is the God who makes sons and daughters out of absolute rebels and sinners. Literal hellions, he makes sons and daughters. He didn't die that we would be inspired or strengthened by his sacrifice. He died to make us his, to create us brand new in himself, to scrape this charred blackness off of us and grab hold of us and pull us up out of the abyss into his arms. And if you think that you can add anything to that, think again. Because you think way too highly of yourself and what you're capable of. The freedom and the peace that he declares to us by his strong and mighty word, it has no strings attached, no conditions. He died for the sins of the whole world because he loves, guess what? The whole world. He's baptized you into his name and into his family because he loves you. And don't you know that that doesn't just fade back into nothing like the rain on the grass outside. Because holy baptism isn't just some dew on the trees or the leaves, some puddle that evaporates when the sun hits it. Baptism is an ocean. Baptism is all worlds, all universes. It is the entirety of heaven. A spring welling up to eternal life straight from the heart of the Savior. All this to say, it is not going anywhere. The waters that covered Pharaoh points us straight to the baptismal waters that liberate us from Satan himself. It is a flood of grace that breaks forth and gives new birth and new life, so that out of death comes life. Out of slavery comes even sons and daughters, heirs with Jesus. And so faith, it's not scaling up a mountain. It's not trying to climb up the side of a mountain at all. That's a terrible analogy. It's not an act of our will dependent upon our strength. It's not dependent upon our commitment. Because if it were, guess what? We would all be goners. Not one of us would make it to the top of the mountain. Faith is this. It's sitting secure in the Son of God who died for us. Sitting in safety within the God who is a fortress, who is a citadel, a castle with ramparts and bulwarks, who, though the earth give way, shall never, ever be moved. Faith rests in Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what faith is. God is our fortress because the earth will eventually give way. And because our faith is under constant attack, right? The devil constantly attacks us in this life. God is not a fortress that we build with our sincerity. And he doesn't become more reliable or more trustworthy as time goes on, the better we get with the strength of our faith or conviction. Rather, he gives himself as a fortress. A fortress for our safety, for our security. And he is unmoving. And his word cannot and never will be broken. Bad things happen to us in this life. Evil happens to us. Even happens to those who belong to Christ. To good people all the time. Burden and temptation and sorrow, they find their way to us. They always seem to. And they will continue to until the last day. But here is the promise of God himself. That the gates of hell shall never prevail against us. Why? Because God is with us. They can never prevail against him who is our fortress and our refuge, the one who even holds us in the palm of his hand. And we know that in the holy mystery of God's immense mercy, all things work together for the good that God would have for us. All things, no matter how hellish, no matter how evil they may seem, all things work together for our good. Because God loves us. Faith rests, it lays down securely in him, in his word and in his promise, in his death and resurrection. In him, we are safe. We don't need then to be constantly looking over our shoulders to see if the devil is coming to us. I don't mean you're the devil, Kathy, but see, if the devil's always coming after us, why don't we need to look after that? Because he is coming after us. We know that the devil is coming after us. He hates us. He's trying to get us to turn our attention, to turn our gaze away from Jesus. We don't have to worry about him, though. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our fortress. Jesus Christ is our Emmanuel. He is always with us, and he is never going to change. There's no need, then, to measure our devotion, to measure our faith, or count up all of our works, all of the things that we do. They are worthless when compared to the law. But, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And so we don't trust in our works or in our sincerity. And even though we failed at keeping the law, we don't fear. We don't fear hell or death or Satan. We trust in the Lord. Because the Lord of hosts, who justifies us with his grace, he is with us. And he's not going anywhere. The God of Jacob, the supplanter even, has become our God. And embraced in his arms, he has made himself our fortress. And we can be no safer than right where we are, enveloped by him. In Jesus' name, amen.